thank you so very much again today for giving us another opportunity to have entered into this sacred and holy place, and certainly, God, to be able to demonstrate to the world that we have a relationship with you. We do that, Lord, because we have read and we do indeed understand and apply to our lives the fact that in you we live, move, and have our existence. And so, God, when we move, people will know that we're with you. When we speak, they'll know that we have been talking with you. And when we serve, they'll know that we're doing what you have asked of us to do. And so, God, again, we pray these few prayers that we would certainly, God, again, be heard of you. For we know that when we lift up our voices, lift up our prayers, lift up our worship, that you're very attentive to that. And so, God, we want to lift your name up above every name, and we certainly want to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. We want to please you. And so, God, we ask today that you would again visit with us and that allow us to visit with you. And you said if you stand at the door and knock, if we let you in, you'll come. And then, Lord, you called us to you. And so James says if we draw near unto you, you'll draw near unto us. Sounds like, Lord, it's an opportunity for us to be in fellowship with you, in relationship with you, be disciples for you. And so, God, we ask that all of those things would come to pass, not only today, but for the rest of our lives. And, God, we have to ask this. We ask it so often, but we'll ask again that you would forgive us of our sins and that you'll have mercy on us and cleanse us from the unrighteousness of this world, that we would know and live the righteousness that is Christ Jesus. Now again, open our eyes and our ears and open our hearts and make us, Lord, ready to receive. The book of life is open. We hear your voice and we pray, God, that we would listen and follow the instructions. Follow the path that you have set us upon. Our steps are indeed ordered of God. And so, God, these few things we ask because certainly we pray that your will be done in us. Before we look to our neighbor, to the left or to the right, your will be done in us. And Lord, when you have done your will in us, we can help someone else along this journey. God, we ask these things. We really want them today. And God, we pray for our neighbor, our friend, and even the stranger. As these doors remain open, we pray that many would rush in and hear what you are saying to the church. This is our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. God bless you. Let's go back. We're going forward, but let's go and look at the proverb letter. We want to be able to keep going. Again, we're talking about six things. And as I said to you when we started there, I'm going to take my time with them because I want to help everybody. And everybody's not in the same place. Everybody doesn't learn the same way. Everybody doesn't pick up things as readily. And so I want to be very careful not to leave anybody behind. I want to make sure that we kind of all come up together. Amen. And so last week we were talking about how critical it is for us to get our mind into a state of submission, surrender. And now we want to really look at how we stabilize our mind, how we become the consistent disciple. Those of you who have a job, you know, you first start out, you might be in a probationary period or something like that. But after a while, they expect you to do it well because you've been there a while. You're expected to not have to be, you know, your hand has to be held or you no longer need a trainer or nothing like that. They expect you to now become consistent. And some of you have done what you've done so long, you call it old hat or, you know, I can do it with my eyes closed. And they usually call that sleeping on the job. You get fired for that. You know, that's what they call that. But let me tell you something that I'm concerned about when I look at the church is how we can qualify and even overqualify ourselves for the world. But we always want to act as if we're novice with the things of God. It's like, you know, we just heard that. And, you know, I can't do that all the time. You worked on jobs for 10, 15, 20 years, and you've been recognized for it. You've got awards and all that kind of stuff. But yet when it comes to things of God, we keep suggesting that we just started. You know, we have built no portfolio of great spiritual things. We are still acting as if we don't know what worship is. We're acting as if we don't know how to consistently tithe or consistently serve God. You know, we'll serve God in a season, and then next year we want to step down or we don't want to do that no more. But on your job, you're steadily looking for room for advancement and opportunity. And that's something wrong with that. There's something really wrong with that, because that's not your salvation. You're not going to get to heaven and they're going to have a J. Crew heaven or a MetLife heaven or Lynchburg College heaven or Bank of the James heaven. That's too many heavens all by itself. I don't want to mess around and miss heaven on being in the wrong heaven. But I mean, help me understand that. I mean, how is the church still struggling after all these years? But yet other companies have become famous and longevity is their trademark, and Coca-Cola been around forever. And it still tastes the same. No matter who works in that Atlanta plant and other distribution centers, it tastes the same. The church ain't the same nowhere. People who work for these companies come in, they wear uniforms, they do the same thing, they do the same. People come to work and they go to their workstation. Don't nobody have to tell them how to get there. Nobody has to say, well, why come? We come to church and people who's supposed to lead ain't leading. People who's to follow ain't following. Something's wrong with our mind. We crazy. That's what it is, the mind. And I'm telling you, you're going to have to get to this place where your mind is stable. If you don't do what you do, people start wondering if you're crazy. Something's wrong with the mind, and there is no hurried way to get past this, because until your mind is right, let this mind, that means you got to allow that to happen. The Holy Spirit's not going to arrest us. And you know, I was just talking to Reverend Uriel and Deacon Davis a little minute ago. We're saying things that sound cutesy from the world, but they're not spiritually aligned. We've got to be very careful with that. And what we're doing is we're sucking the spirituality right out of the church, because we're trying to be cutesy and trying to be new millennial thinking. Ain't no new millennial thinking. The Bible going to be the same till Jesus comes. Let's just do that. Let's stop trying to be creative. Let's stop trying to come up with something. Let's just do this. So, I mean, so that there has to be a point where we understand that our mind, you have to let this. You have to have the singleness of mind. He says to Peter, you got to get behind me because you don't think like me. I mean, Peter loved the Lord. Ain't no question in my mind. Peter loved the Lord. I think Peter was trying to say something big. You know, he's, and Jesus says, son, you don't even know what you're saying. And we need to go back to understanding that in the body of Christ, that we don't need to be trying to impress God with some worldly saying or trying to say something that's going to get us a moment on the stage. Let's just say what he said. Let's just do what he's doing. And that's what the Lord said. The Lord said the empowerment of the church, the true survivability of the church, is going to be in that you are doing what I told you to do and you're doing it better. Now, let's ask ourselves very quickly. You don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to do anything. Just ponder this within. After all the time you've been in the body of Christ, are you really doing it better? Are we really moving toward greater? After all this time, are we preaching better? Are we serving better? Are we learning better? Are we ministering beyond the wall? I mean, we have to be honest and say yes or no. Ain't no, well, I'm trying. You've been trying a long time. Trying means you get something done. He said, you know, you're going to know the tree by the fruit that it bears. You can go out there and plant 100 trees, and if none of them don't produce, you ain't got nothing. You know, so we have to realize that this is critical. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 26 for a second. Proverbs 26. And this is critical now, because this is what we see happening in the church, and I want to help us get past this. Everybody in Proverbs 26, look at verse 5. When arguing with fools, be sure to answer their foolish arguments, or they will become wise in their own estimation. So when people are saying the church ain't this and church ain't that, so no, hold up that horse. I don't know where you get that from. Let me show you what the word says. when people talk about what's wrong, ain't nothing wrong with the church. You know what the real issue is? People. God has guarded his church. The church is protected. That's why he says, and the gates of hell will not prevail against. The church is protected. It's the people that won't allow themselves to live under the protected covenant of God. He says, when you're in, stay in. When you're with me, stay with me. When you're listening, keep listening. But you keep going out and then you come in. And you go out and you come in and you're getting beat down and wore down. And he says, I can't, you left. You can't say, Lord, be a fence, and you keep digging a hole under the fence. You can't do that. And he said, listen, so when you start arguing with fools, and we run into people all the time, that's why I don't go to church. That's why. Then stand up there with him and say, hold on a minute. Okay, let's just walk our way through. Let me get this book for you. When you argue with them, and you're going to wind up having to stand up for the gospel, or you're not going to be counted faithful. When I was in the military, Brother Thomas remembers this. We had a belt buckle that said, this will defend. Our little badge said, this will defend. We fought for what we believe. And the fact of the matter is, in the body of Christ, you are identified as a soldier servant. And if you haven't been defending this, you're an enemy. It's only one side. You're either with him or you're against him. And if you're with him, you defend this. John came back and said, Lord, we saw some folk that we didn't know doing this thing. And he said, hold on now, hold on. Were they doing what we're doing? Mm-hmm. Just because you hadn't met them yet, John, don't mean they're not one of us. He said, I got folk everywhere. He says, so when you have to get into these debates with people about why they don't go to church and why they don't do this, and he said, you get ready for that. Be strong in your mind. You know, be wise in your estimation of people. You know, be careful. But you have to be able to give an account. I believe, we had this years ago, and Sister Jess brought a poser to me, and I told her, I said, all you have to do is say, listen, I know what I believe. You know, people tell me, I don't go to church. Okay, then, good luck in hell. I don't believe in it. No, I believe it. And sometimes the argument is real short. Well, I believe it. Good luck with that. And he says, you be ready to do that. He says, because there is something happening. And this is one of the things we need to look at in the church. We have to be very careful of the people who say to us they're representing the kingdom, and yet they don't prepare themselves. Again, as I said in Bible Academy on Thursday, there's a weakness because people have fallen asleep. They're not being nourished. And if you're not being nourished, you can't survive. You're not going to be able to perform. They're falling asleep. You look around in the body of Christ, and the first thing you notice is inconsistency. That's a bad thing. How many of you have ever walked into your job or walked into the church or walked into a place and go, where is everybody? They're inconsistent. How many of you have ever had to testify to yourself, well, at least I'm here. But that's sad, because we don't see that anywhere as rampant and impactful as it is happening in the church. If on your job people didn't show up, you'd have to shut down. You'd go out of business. If you're in a, you know, I was in a restaurant a few weeks ago, and a young lady came and said, you know, we're out of French fries. I said, how can you be out of that? That's what you do. Somebody didn't do their job. And if that keeps happening, people are going to stop coming. They broke my heart the other day and said, Ruby Tuesdays is closing. I said, how could that happen? And I told them the Beatles were prophets when they said goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Okay, y'all. Yeah, y'all. They didn't get that one, Rudy. They missed it. They don't know the song. Here's what's happening to us. He said, be ready, because people are going to say some of the craziest stuff. And you're going to have to stand up to that. Go back to Proverbs 10. And look what he says. Come on over. Everybody there? Verse 8, the wise are glad to be instructed, but babbling fools fall flat on their faces. The wise are glad to be instructed. I've had people tell me, I don't come because that stuff you talking about, I already know that. I've been in the church since I don't need to hear. You're a babbling fool. The wise are always glad to be instructed. They want to come to learn it. Teach me, Pastor. When I was in the military, and again, Brother Thomas, the military, but he knew when they had training, man, you were glad to go. You signed up for all the training you could get. If they had training, it didn't have to be mandatory. Man, I'm going to learn that. When they brought in things and they said, man, they coming up, some, I'm going to sign up for that. I was glad to learn. You get promoted like that. You get an opportunity to do things because they say he's qualified. You want it to be certified. You want it to be the guy. You want it to be able to demonstrate that you know stuff. So you learn. You sit there for hours. The wise are glad to be instructed. Yes, sir. Oh, absolutely. The Bible reminds us that we ought to speak as oracles of God. Well, you can't be an oracle if you haven't learned anything. You have to be, listen, I said this years ago, and I'll say it again. If they took up every Bible and took them out of our hands and locked them away, we should be able to sit together as a people and put it back together. It may take us a while, but we should be able to sit down. And you all saw the movie, The Book of Eli? An excellent movie. How many of you were fooled until you finally found out who the Book of Eli was? He was it. All that stuff he was doing, and we, you know, you had to put it together at the end, you know. I'm still trying, was he blind or not blind? I mean, how did he get blind? Who made him blind? But this is about delivering the word. He knew he had the last of it. And it was in Braille. Nobody else could be trusted with it. But he delivered. Can you imagine how many Eli should be walking around? Because we keep learning. And I told you before, your learning is your living. There's a way that seemeth right. If you ain't learned nothing, you can't do nothing. Think about this. Every growth point in your life is the result of something you've learned. Can you imagine? Let me demonstrate it. How many of you in this room can imagine having not learned to tie your shoes? Having not learned to put a belt on or button your own button? Everything you did carried you to the next place. Everything. How many of you have a driver's license? Because you learned. And then you went and took that test. Now, there are people I've known, you know, this old school, but there are people who drove forever, never had a driver's license. They just learned how to drive, but they couldn't pass the test. My mother's brother, God bless him, had a difficulty with articulating things on paper. And he drove, and he finally had to take the oral exam. Darn if he didn't mess that up 3 or 4 times. But you know, he finally got it, but he got it. And he was so proud when he got his driving license. He called it driving license. You know, he old school. He said, I got my driving license. But his learning gave him a next step. Now he could go. He bought a car. He bought a 1973 Chevrolet Malibu before he got his license. Because he just knew he was going to get. That car sit for almost 3 years. He couldn't pass the test. And my grandfather at that time was still strong, wouldn't let him drive it. My granddaddy would drive. My granddaddy had a license. He'd get in there and drive every night. Didn't go very far. But you know, when you get to the point where you're learning, it moves you to the next level of your living. Now imagine this. In the body of Christ, how critical that must be. How are we going to do the work of the kingdom if we do not understand kingdom? How are we going to make more disciples when we have not been made one ourselves? Do you see what's happening now? Can you now see? This fraudulence has caught up with us. Because as I said before, we made critical errors years ago by not correcting the error at the moment the error came identified. When people said, I joined the church, we should have said, no, have you given your life to Christ? That's discipleship. Joining the church is membership, which is why we became enamored with membership. Now that we're trying to correct it, we're being fault. It don't make no difference. Hey, y'all preach a crazy. No, we're trying to fix the error. And if you don't fix the error, it stays in a bad way. The English language is beautiful, but there are words that are spelled the same but don't mean the same thing. Somebody teaches us that. And so in the body of Christ, he said, listen, the wise always want to learn. I'll be going to Bible study till I die, whether I'm teaching it or being taught. I will be reading that book from Genesis to Revelation until I die. Not just finding preaching, I'm finding life. I don't read just to get a sermon. I read to live. And I'll be doing that for the rest of my life. I cannot tell you how many times, and I've said to you before, I'm not one of those, I do not like that Bible through the year thing. I think you ought to read the Bible and take your time. If you're trying to rush, you're going to become inconsistent. You're going to miss some things. But I'm telling you now that you must make a commitment today to learn for the rest of your life. Otherwise, look what he says is going to happen to you. You're just going to fall flat on your face. How many of you have ever been in a situation where you were embarrassed by your ignorance? Try to act like you knew something and then you got exposed and you felt like a fool. Amen. Thank you. Only three of y'all raising your hand. Thank you. Thank you. I'm telling you today that the mind, what you're using and not using is going to backfire on you. Learn this thing. He said, learn of me. The most important thing you can do is learn him. Let's go to John 14. Verse 26, John 14, verse 26. But when the Father sends the counselor as my representative, and by the counselor I mean the Holy Spirit, we cannot be a church and not recognize how intimate, how important, and the instruction and the inspiration and the intelligence of the Holy Spirit is to our everyday life. You can't wait till Sunday morning to hear from the Holy Spirit. You need counsel every day. Every day. He said, now listen. When he comes, what's he going to do? He's going to teach you everything. And will remind you of everything. He says, you've got a foundation. You've got a reference point. And that's why we should not in the church, after all these years, still be novice. We should have foundations that are solid. So no one can draw us away. No one will beguile us. No one will trick us and say, he's here and we'll run over there. Or he's here and we'll run over there. We'll know what it means to stand still. We'll know what it means to train up our sons and daughters. You want to know why kids are crazy? Because parents are crazy. You want to know why kids don't come to church or don't want to go? Because you don't want to go. They hear you, Lord, I got to get up here again. I'm so sick of running up to this church every time I turn around, pastor calling me. You don't think they hear you? And so when you're trying to tell them how critical it is, they look at you and go, I don't want to go. And they really want to say to you, you don't want to go. That's why we start asking them, do they want to go? Because we're hoping they'll say no, so we don't have to go. Y'all want to go tomorrow? You know, if you don't feel like going, I understand. Because you don't really want to go. You imagine being on an airplane and the pilot looks over at the co-pilot and says, you feel like taking off? No, let's just sit here and let it run a while. I don't know. Mm-mm. You imagine that? Going into a restaurant and the cook's all standing there. You going to make that guy steak? No, you want to make it? No, you. I don't know, man. Let's just wait. Mm-mm. No. You don't get no choice. Do as you're told. Do what's expected of you. What is God expecting us to do as much as anything? Learn. See, I know some of you are going to say make disciples. No. Go back. You can't do that till you learn how to do that. Jesus does not say to them, Matthew 28 first. The first thing he says is learn. And the reason we can't make disciples, because we haven't learned anything. You're not going to make disciples and have not learned. He said, learn me first. Excuse me, that was close. You saw it. And look, that was my fastball. Learn. Nobody's going to turn you loose without learning. He says, suddenly lay hands on no man. Don't send novice people to do this work, because they'll be caught up by the devil and mess up the whole thing. That's biblical. I've been pastoring 18 years, and I've had a whole lot of people getting mad at me and leave. Lord called me to preach. Lord called you to come to Bible study. Why would the Lord call you to preach and you haven't learned? So they leave. You know what I can tell you now? About 98.9% of them still ain't preaching, because I was right and they was wrong and they ain't learned. I ain't got no problem with more preachers. I can use more preachers. I can use more deacons. I can use more trustees. We can stand along the walls till we build something. But if you ain't learning, you ain't living, and your show can't be leading if you ain't listening and learning. Ain't nobody, listen, we fooling ourselves if we think great numbers validate the movement of God. It does not. No, it does not. He said, listen, when he comes, he's going to teach you. And there's going to be a coming together of, watch this, he's going to teach you everything and remind you of everything. But who did it? That I told you. Don't be walking around telling me, my grandmama said. Nobody care what your grandmama said, unless she said what he said. You know, he said that he's going to remind you what I told you, which means what? I've been listening to you, Lord. Lord, I didn't just open my book. I read it and read it again. And when I had questions, I asked for clarity. Paul told Timothy, he said, you make sure that you can make this thing live. He said, don't get caught up in old wives' tales and fables. He said, man, stand on this. That which you've seen in me, you saw my consistency. You saw my tears. Yeah, I was willing to suffer for this. That's why this ain't going to be for everybody at the top. Jesus said, you be careful of the hireling, because when the hireling get in trouble, he just going to leave. But you need that one that's going to lay down his life. And everybody ain't willing to do that. He said, but when the counselor comes, you pay attention to that, because you're going to need that. You need to know what I'm telling you. And you know, it does not excuse itself when we say things like, well, just do as I say, not as I do. We lead by example. If you're not going to be a good example, stand aside. Say, no, I don't need to be out front. When I was in the military, I learned that, and every soldier learns that your instructor is the model. We stand on the platform and say, I will name, explain, and demonstrate. You have an AI, an assistant instructor. And you tell him, demonstrator, and the demonstrator does, and that's how they learn. You can't teach something you don't know. In the body of Christ, we have the same standard. Who's going to show us? Jesus said, keep your eyes on me. Don't get distracted. Keep your eyes on me. And when you get to the point of distraction, go back to the discipline. Wait a minute. This ain't how it's supposed to be. I'm doing it wrong. Let me go back. And here's what I want God to do in me so I can give back to God what he has put in me. God's never going to ask us to deliver what has not already been delivered. He said, ask me, I'll give it to you. If you want to do this kind of work, how do we get to do this kind? He said, come by fasting and prayer. He said, and once you get this, you can do this. He said, I'll never ask you to deliver to me what has not already been delivered to you. I am the source. And that's why I've told you before, don't just read the Philippian letter and say, and my God shall supply, and all you think about is selfish things. Think about what does God desire of me? How can I bless him? If I do this, won't God be glorified? Then I want to do that. If I give up this, won't I have more time for him? Then I'll give up that. You cannot be a part of everything in the world and be a part of everything in the kingdom. He says, you're going to have a problem. He said, you can't serve two. You're going to either love one and hate the other one. And it amazes me how we love our fraternities and sororities and clubs and Kiwanis and Ruatan and whatever. And then when it comes to the body of Christ, we are so quick to go, I don't see why I got to do all that. I don't understand that. Anybody understand that? Somebody help me with that. Because you cannot tell me that your firstness becomes your lastness because something else gets to be first. No. Not even just seek ye first the kingdom. Okay, if we didn't even go there. How about just your first love? How about that? How about not forsaking your first true love? And maybe the problem is we haven't learned how to fall in love. You can't say to him, you for so loved the world that you gave your only and you give nothing. All you want to do is take. Open up windows of heaven, pull me out a blessing. Enlarge my territory, strengthen the cords of my tent, but you give him nothing. That's ridiculous. Utterly ridiculous. It's foolish. Bible says, how can we expect to receive from God and not give anything? He said, no man should expect to receive if his faith is not so. He said, you're asking for, don't ask if your faith is not so. Where does faith come from? Christ Jesus. True church lives that way. Everything that we're doing is because we've learned to do so. Let's go to the Corinthian letter. Second Corinthians, thank you, chapter 3. Listen to what Paul says. I'm going to read you a little bit, and then I'll make my point. I really want to make my point in verse 4 and 5, but let me tell you what he's saying. He says, are we beginning again to tell you how good we are? Some people need to bring letters of commendation with them or ask you to write letters of commendation for them. But the only letter of recommendation that we need is yourselves. Your lives are a letter written in our hearts, and everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. Clearly, you are a letter from Christ prepared by us. It is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. It is not carved on stone, but on human hearts. We are confident of all of this because of our great trust in God through Christ. It is not that we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success comes from God. That's why we are. He said, listen, we can testify because you are our testimony. We don't need people to say things about us. They can see it. We don't need letters of recommendation. We don't need people to brag. They can see it. So what are people seeing now of the church? Look at our testimony. Look at it. What has happened to us? God is not first. God is not important. There is no sacrifice. There's only selfish gain. You know how many people lead a church because they don't get to have their way? Today's sermon, I pray you'll hang around to hear it because I got some news for you. This ain't about you. You ain't the only one sick. You ain't the only one got issues. And that doesn't mean God is not valid. Everybody got bills. Stuff breaking everybody's house. Cancer comes even to the best of us. And because we did anything wrong. And I don't know why we let the devil lie to us and refuse to hear God's truth. The devil keeps trying to tell you that the reason this is happening is because God ain't God and he don't love you. That's a lie. Why would you believe him? Don't listen. He said, man, I know better than that. Paul said, listen, I'd rather have my sufferings now that God be glorified than to think that I could do this all by myself. He said, I finally realized that my weakness was a testimony as to the greatness and love of God. That's why he said, what shall separate me from the love that is Christ Jesus? Not peril, not distress, not loneliness, not brokenness, not poverty. I'd rather glory in that than to be a fraud in my own imagination. He said, man, we had no power. Listen what he says. He said, he is the one who has enabled us to represent his new covenant. This is a covenant not of written laws, but of the Spirit. The old way ends in death. In the new way, the Holy Spirit gives life. That's why Jesus sent him. Because you would have no chance. He said, please understand. You need to learn this. Open up that book. Hear the good news. Your life is in Christ Jesus. So learn him. To travel in a way that you have never traveled before, you need to be led, guided, ushered along the way. When you say, my steps are ordered, follow the orders. You cannot declare your independence. You cannot say you have arrived. You are under order till you die. You'll die with an order. He will issue to the death angel your name, address, and say, go get him. And there's nothing you can do about it. But you should glory in the fact that I have lived my life in such a way that when the Lord does come, I ain't fighting. I ain't fighting. He said, listen, you do know that we are the new covenant of Christ. And he says, what we have done is trusted him. It's right there. He said, it's not that we think we can do anything of lasting value by ourselves. Our only power and success have come from God. And you cannot lay claim to from God if you don't know God. He said, man, come on, let's not mess this up again. Let's get it right. Let's work on it. Let's again, the Philippian, like Paul says to the Philippian church, fix your thoughts. You know what that means? Don't waver. You as I said some few weeks ago, we can't be up here and down there. But we're not fixed. Worship ought to be consistent. Giving ought to be consistent. Service ought to be consistent. Everything we do ought to be fixed. That's why every can of Coke tastes the same no matter where you buy it from. That's why every McDonald's cheeseburger, Happy Meal, Quarter Pounder, Big Mac looks the same in Virginia, North Carolina, California, Mexico, Europe. It doesn't matter because they're fixed. And the church don't look the same right up the street. Right around, it doesn't. It doesn't even sound the same. Because we're not fixed. We don't do that here. How do you not lift up the man? Ain't no church should be quiet. Meditation is fine, but when we worship, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. I tell you, I love the days when the choir used to march in. They brought it, man. They lined up at that back door of our church, and you could hear that rustling, and the choir director would come and stand, and they'd come in. We are soldiers in the army. We got to fight, though we have to try. We got to hold up the blood. They would, every Sunday, nobody had to remind us to stand. When we saw the music director come out, we stood up because we know it's on. They split and they go their ways. And boy, we did it every Sunday. We loved our pastor so much that when we saw pastor come to the door, we stood up. Because we reverenced our pastors. We don't do that no more. He ain't no better than I am. Yes, he is. He's my pastor. We didn't have to beg folk to praise God. I've sat down. I cannot remember growing up in church where nobody had to say, come on, let's bless the Lord. We just did it. We just did it. Nobody had to say, grab your hymn books. We were ready. That's why they were always there, because we couldn't wait to chime in. We might not have made the choir cut, but we can sing from the congregation. And sometimes we try to sing loud, but they'll notice us and say, oh, we better get her. We've lost it. We're not the same, but he is. So how do we identify with a God who is the same today, yesterday, and forever? And we're not. Last Sunday we were one way. Last Thursday we were one way. Last Wednesday we were one way. We came, we're not coming. We're here, we're not there. And yet, to God be the glory. What glory? We're struggling. Look at us. Nobody can survive like this. No company would be successful. He just said our only success, our only hope, our only consistency, our only power is in that we are related properly with God. God is my voice. You cannot say the joy of the Lord is my strength and you don't have any joy of the Lord. Them old folk was right. When they thought about God, they were just blessing. Hallelujah. We've been in the middle of something, you hear somebody go, hallelujah. That's how church really got kicking. And some sister ain't gonna let no other sister out hallelujah her. And some brother gonna make sure another brother don't go, preach, brother. Back in that's we had church like that. Every Sunday, you could count on Brother Amos Rose standing up saying, sad, Reverend. Ain't nobody telling him to sit down. Next thing you know, Brother Charlie Jones would stand up and go, Reverend, you're saying something now. They backed up their preacher. We done lost that. That's gone. Those old ladies would stand up and shake their finger at the preacher. Go ahead, boy. Every preacher was a boy. Don't care how old you were. We don't worship like that anymore because we're not fixed. I was glad when they said unto me, that means when you get to church, your disposition has already been predetermined. Oh, I'm going to worship. We used to say it that way. I'm going to worship on Sunday. I'm going to the service on Sunday. They gonna know I'm in there. We sit around now waiting on team mentality. What you going to do? What you going to say? No, you can't tell my story. I couldn't wait to get there to lift up my, I may not do what you do, but you'll know I did what I do. That's because it mattered to me. It mattered to me that God knew I thought much of him, that I was thankful to him, that I appreciate him. You know, we were saying that he didn't have to let me live. We sang that because that was real, because we knew where we were Saturday night. We knew what we just snuck out of. We knew what we got waved over. Didn't have to let me live, but I'm glad. You know why? Because this matters to me. My head and heart is in this. I could never outdress my testimony. What are you saying, Pastor? No matter what I wore, I'm going to bless his name. I done seen hats come off, wigs come off. I never forget it. Lord help me. Lady was dancing so hard, a slip fell down. She danced right on out of it and kept right on going. You done seen it too? Yes, sir. If you ever been in a good church, they'll come right out of that. That sister got to stepping and going, and this is an AME church. And a little slip came down, she stepped right on out of it and kept on going. Usher quickly scooped that thing up and went on about her business. She moved on out too. Hats, wigs, hair pieces. I done seen teeth come out, but they kept on going. They kept on. I done seen brooches pop, pearls fall, but they kept on going. You know why? Because it was genuine. They said, I picked that up later. That was in an A&E church. You know, if A&E folk get it, boy, it's on. But let me tell you something. He says, our only truth is God. Because I know him. And Jesus says, stay fixed. Don't be distracted. We make more excuses than we need to make about much of nothing. When did we allow it don't take all that to become the statement of the church? The devil is a liar. All I've been through, it's going to take more than this. That's why I believe the writer said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Because after all I've been through, I'm going to need some help on this one here. I can't tell it all. I need somebody else to get with me on this one. Because I realize that the only reason I'm still alive is because the Lord is my shepherd. Because the Lord is my rock. Because the Lord is my defense. Because the Lord is my stronghold. I never would have made it by myself. God did it. And I know he did it. Not my mother, not my father. God did it. My only success. Only reason I can read a scripture. The only reason I can pray a prayer. The only reason I can preach a sermon is because God did it. And I thank God he does it over and over and over and over and over and over. I ain't always right. I ain't always perfect, but he looked beyond my fault and said, do it. And sometimes he said, do it because nobody else won't do it. We ain't waiting on the next generation. We ain't waiting on the next deacon. I'm the guy now. It's my turn to bless him. Ain't no baton to be passed. I'm the only one on the track. Sitting around here waiting on who? I ain't waiting on nobody. God, you can count on me. Don't nobody unlock the door, I'll break in the church. I'll settle up with them about the glass later. I was glad when they said unto me, I live to go to worship. I live to go to Bible study. I live for him. I ain't got nothing without him. And I ain't gonna let him take it away. The devil ain't going to rob me of my joy. The devil ain't going to rob me of my assignment. I live for him. I ain't got nothing without him. That's my only success. I'm going to die someday. But my testimony will be God did it. God did it. It's all I got. And so I'm fixed. Don't nobody else show up next Sunday. I'm fixed. I'll come stand right here and teach me. I don't care. He said, man, I don't need your recommendations. The people are our recommendation. The lives that have been changed. The children that will grow up in the power of God. The parents who press their way. Even when it was unpopular to be in church, to go to Bible study, to tithe and sacrifice. I don't care what other people do. I'm not waiting on committee. I'm waiting on God to be my guide and my strength. And if the Lord provide, I'll do it. I can't do it without him. I can't give it if he don't give it to me. But when he give it to me, I'm not going to lie and say he didn't give it to me. That's why I rebuke that logic of saying bless those that didn't have it to give. That's a lie. I would tell you what kind of lie it is, but I've been having a good spiritual morning. Catch me after church. I'll tell you what kind of lie it is. He said, I don't have nothing else. Fix. That means I'm unwavering. How do you do it? He says, you stay fixed. Hey, friend. You can't do it any other way. No. He said, listen, you're going to always be challenged because you have an adversary. There'll always be somebody try to tell you, you ain't got to do all that. You know, you don't have to go every, yeah, you do. You know, nobody don't tell you, you ain't got to go to work every Monday. Nobody never tell you, you ain't got to go up there every Monday. You ain't got to go every day. I don't see what you run up to that job every day for. But then when you come to the church, y'all got anything old Mitchell say, y'all following up after it. You do what Mr. Charlie say, you don't argue with him. Everybody know who Mr. Charlie is. They come white or black. They got black Mr. Charlie's now too. We just call him Charles. He just called him Charles. He said, listen, man, he said, you're going to have to make up your mind that you're doing this thing for God. It's good church when you sweat doing Bible study. That's good church right there. I'm going to need a raise. Take care of my dry cleaning, you know. Dry cleaning's gone up. But so he says, now what do you do? He says, the only thing we have is God. And so the way to make the best of that is to know him better. Because the better you know him, the better your results are going to be. That's why they said, well, Lord, how can we do this? He said, guys, your day is going to come when you will have this power to do greater because you know me. And people are going to say, y'all been with him. Y'all going to say, mm-hmm. That's why Peter and John could say, silver and gold we don't have, but such as we have. You know what they were saying? We got Jesus. We can give you a whole lot of Jesus. You know why? Because we ain't short on our Jesus quote. Our Jesus quantity is high. We got Jesus. You know, got milk? Mm-hmm. Got Jesus. You can look at a cow and say, got milk? They say, mm-hmm. You need to be able to look at a disciple and say, got Jesus? Mm-hmm. Men will ask of you regarding me. And what will you say? Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But you, sir. See, if you don't know him, you're going to get beat badly about the head. The enemy going to get you. That's why he said, in no other name. You ain't got to come in my name. Ain't no power in my name. I called a phone company the other day. Gonna send me to my past due. I said, I got automatic payment. So I called and I throwed my name out. They ain't do nothing. They say, Mr. Mitchell, if you'll send us $91.83, that'll get you current. They didn't care that I was pastor of Greater Brookville Church. They didn't care that I was Candace's daddy. They didn't care about all that man kept with his foreign accent. I kept trying to throw him off by saying, I can't understand what you're saying. I'm serious, deputy. I'm sorry. I said, what'd you say? Mr. Mitchell, I am telling you. I said, hey, man, can you get me somebody else? You know what he said? It does not matter. They will tell you the same thing. That's what he told me. He said, it does not matter. They will tell you. I said, well, let them tell me in a language I understand. He said, I am your representative. I said, where you calling me from? You calling me, sir? I said, well, where did the phone ring? I was going all over. I was trying to. I said, well, where did the phone? Are you in a call center? Are you even in the United States? It does not matter, Mr. Mitchell. I am going to help you. If you will be patient and let me explain to you what has happened. It didn't matter. He didn't care who I was. He wanted results. And what I'm trying to tell you is this. There's no other power except his. The only way we grow this ministry, the only way we turn this around is in the name of Jesus. But it must be because we are consistent and committed and consecrated. Holiness is going to rule the day for us. We tried everything else. Shouldn't have never got deviated and distracted like that. That's what's wrong with the church. They're doing too many other things. Y'all know I don't mean no harm, but I tell it like I see it. We're seeing stuff in the church that don't make no sense. And people are clapping and people who clap and get excited about secular things, and when you say Jesus, they don't move. Somebody get up and wave a bunch of fans and flip over and run back and forth, and all the church be standing there, woo! Pope preach up there preaching and just looking at it. They can dance all day, nobody say nothing. They can stand up, huck a buck, and roll over, and don't. But when it comes to the Word of God, Bible, they'll come to a concert, they'll come to a home free eating and all that. But when it comes to learning, what time y'all actually start the preaching part? You need the learning part, the prep part before the preaching part. Y'all ain't saying nothing. We gotta fix that though. My time is up. I'm gonna stay on time. I made a bet the other day. I'm gonna keep my promise. I said I'm gonna be on time. It's quarter till. And where the music ministry at? Music ministry is supposed to be ready right now. Praise team should be coming around that corner. And if they come out like they supposed to, I'll come out when I'm supposed to. But because watch this now. Watch what's gonna happen. I've been a pastor a long time. I've been saying for years at Mrs. Walker, thank you. I ain't going to have no problem with it. Let me do my little prayer. Do my little prayer. I know. You ain't got to go. No, come on back. Don't leave. No, since you got on heels, I'll let you rest a minute. Get your flats ready. Father, we thank you so very much. We have certainly had an opportunity to do something with our mind today. And so, God, we do thank you for those who share with us through our media outreach ministry all over the world. Lord, we made contact with people, and we just pray, God, that this morning certainly made a difference in their lives as they were in their places at home or in military assignments all over the world. Wherever they log in or stream with us, we thank God for that today. And for these who are here with us in person, we certainly, God, thank you for them. And we just ask, God, that you would help us to hold fast to what we've learned. And as Paul declared, that we can just stay fixed. What we've gathered today, Lord, let it become a reserve and a resource for us for the days that are to come. And then we'll come back and we'll fill up the tank again and we'll go a little further. word declares that we ought to just press our way. And so, God, we thank you today for the ability and the desire to press. Again, it is our prayer that you would forgive us of our sins and have mercy. But, Lord, again, hold this to our minds. Don't let us get distracted. Don't let us take detours, and don't let us become lost along this journey. But let us stay very close to you as you're leading and guiding us into a more excellent way. And God, we ask today these things because they mean so much to us. There is no other name in all of creation that men and women, boys and girls would be saved. And so we lift up that name today. We lift it up through media. We lift it up through our personal testimonies. We lift it up because that name drew us. And God, we're so thankful that it still works. And so bless now as we go forward, and we long to come back yet again that we can continue in this learning environment. Thank you so very much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, get ready. We're going to give our scholarship gifts, and then we're going to let the praise ministry come up.